Welcome to the beginning of the super terrific happy hour.
Super terrific
happy hour.
Happy hour.
A bunch of us are talking about happy hour.
Yes, welcome to episode 75 of Super Terrific Happy Hour. My name is Matt Neal. I am the movie reviewer here at the Wonderful Standard, and I am joined by fellow pop iconoclast, Jono Peck.
Good tidings we bring to you and your kin.
It's
Happy Festivus. Merry Christmas.
Bonza Kwanzaa, Jolly Boxing Day, and a Happy New Year. All of the above.
And Hanukkah.
Yes. Sorry. Happy Hanukkah. We're going to... This is our year-ender. This is the wrap-up of 2015. We are going to run through... We made some pretty bold predictions through the course of this year. As we are wont to do. Roughly how many did we get right?
We'll see as we go. Not many. We'll put it that way.
Do you want to keep it? Will you keep tally on this then?
Okay.
And we're going to run through... How many have we got here?
21.
21
predictions over the course of the year. Most of them were done in a specific predictions podcast.
Yes.
Once we run through those, we'll give you our best of at the cinema, TV, and whatever else we come up with.
Yep.
So, strap in.
All right. So, prediction number one. I don't know exactly what this means. Hoverboards and Back to the Future stuff happens.
Matt predicted that this year, all this stuff that happened in Back to the Future would happen.
Did I?
Because...
I don't remember any of these predictions.
It was a joke because it's the year of Back to the Future Day.
Yeah, Back to the Future Day. Well, Back to the Future Day happened. Hoverboards have actually been pretty massive this year.
They have.
I don't know if there are any other predictions from that came true.
The shoes. That happened a couple of years ago. Yeah. But...
Yeah, cool. We're going to count that one?
Back to the Future was a huge thing this year. So
Back to the Future Day was pretty massive.
We'll count that.
All right, cool. We get 1 point. All right. Robin Williams to close the Oscars in memoriam tribute.
That did not happen.
Didn't it?
Because they decided for some reason to go in a completely random order.
They usually do, though.
I don't think... maybe it's a different award ceremony. Maybe I got my wires crossed, but I know that Bill Simmons had talked about it being a thing of like top billing for the in memoriam.
Right.
And I was sure that the biggest name was going to be Robin Williams.
So who closed the in memoriam?
It was someone I had never heard of. That could have possibly been Key Grip in the 80s or 70s.
Okay. You know?
I'm pretty sure it was a crew member or a forgotten Hollywood actor from yesteryear.
Okay.
Because I remember watching that and being very disappointed.
It was Pedro O'Toole, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even like one of the other big names. He was just dropped randomly in the middle.
Yeah, see, I've never noticed it to be an order thing. I don't know.
Anyway, that's a cross.
We didn't get that one right. Okay. Avengers and Star Wars will take biggest openings of the year. Disney will get all the money.
I think we can safely say that's half a point.
Somewhat.
Because Jurassic Park had more money.
Jurassic World
was
the biggest film of the year and set a new record for biggest weekend opening, which Star Wars Force Awakens just broke.
Yes.
So they held it for 6 months.
Although Jurassic World had the biggest worldwide opening, did it not?
I don't know. Yes, I think it did. That's because it opened in China at the same time. Star Wars hasn't opened in China yet.
Uh-huh.
And that made a significant difference. But Disney making all the money, Avengers is the third biggest film of the year. Star Wars is tracking to be the biggest, possibly, of all time.
Mm.
It could be the boat.
Yes.
But Universal have... Present, as we sit here right now, Universal Studios have the two biggest films of the year, Jurassic World and Furious 7.
Huh.
Worldwide, worth speaking. So they've made somewhere in the vicinity of $3.1 billion just from those two films.
So do we give you a tick or a cross?
I get half.
Half? All right. Half a tick is a really weird thing. It's just like a V.
It's a V. I'll have a V for that one.
Okay. My prediction was that Avengers would make $2 billion. It was a bold prediction, and I'm pretty sure it was wrong.
It was wrong.
Yes.
It was...
What did it make?
It was the third biggest film of the year, $1.4
billion. Okay. So only a shy $0.6 billion off.
Yeah, but the $2 billion mark is like a kind of a mythical figure. I think Avatar's the only one to break it so far.
Is Star Wars in the running?
Yes. After 1 week, it's got close to $700 million worldwide.
So I feel like... This is a movie people are seeing multiple times, which Avengers wasn't probably.
No.
And I've heard many people say that they've seen this two or three times. And it's only
Star Wars.
And it's only been out for a week.
Really? Well,
not personal, but on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My internet friends.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I'm going to go see it again, but I did see Avengers twice at the cinema, so.
Okay.
But that's just me.
Anyway. Is it just me? I want to put this in here.
Yeah.
The hype and reaction to Star Wars has made me wonder why we got so excited for the Avengers. Like,
Age of Ultron just wasn't.
Yeah, like, I look back.
Comparable.
And I think we were so excited for that. But maybe it's just time changes how you think about things. But Star Wars just seems so much bigger and more significant.
Is it because of expectations? Because yeah. Star Wars, what do we have? We had got three, you know, fair to middling prequels that kind of lowered the expectations thing. And then when the buzz started building around Force Awakens, everyone's going, you know what? I think this might actually be really good.
Mm. And it's the sequel
like,
to...
genuinely good. Not just like Revenge of the Sith good. Like, actual proper good.
And it's carrying on the story of what people have been waiting for 30 years, rather than going backwards.
Yeah.
So regardless of how good or bad the prequels were, this is
32 years of anticipation.
Yeah, this is carrying on the story that's been started getting told 30 years ago.
Yeah. Whereas I think Avengers Age of Ultron... was the expectation was this is going to be good because all the other ones have been good
and it was
what
good.
Happens next. Yeah,
we liked it, but
it doesn't have 32 years of wait on it.
It doesn't feel like the exclamation mark of the year that Star Wars does.
Yeah. Although, and I'm kind of Jurassic World kind of took me by surprise. I didn't think people were that psyched about it.
Yeah, it is.
And then it just went bang, biggest movie of the year. Okay, did not see that coming, but.
People like dinosaurs.
Well, there's dinosaurs are pretty awesome.
How's the Pixar dinosaur one going? Opened in the States.
Yeah. The reviews were on the bad side originally, but now it's somewhere about 60%. Which is not good for Pixar, no. But I'm going to go check that out Boxing Day, so I'll let you know.
Cool.
So Avengers 2 will make 2 billion. No, that's a cross. So where are we at? We've got... a couple of half ticks and two crosses.
One and a half ticks, two crosses.
Okay. this was your prediction. The year of Channing Tatum.
Yes. I'm putting a huge tick. No.
No.
Channing Tatum's had an interesting year, but I maintain that Hateful Eight getting pushed back has ruined this completely.
Is he still even in that? Because I've seen the trailer and I haven't seen him in it.
Yeah. He's probably unrecognizable. He's probably got a moustache or a beard. Doesn't everyone in that trailer have a moustache or beard?
I think so, yeah. But yeah. I don't know, I've got this weird feeling.
I can't see them cutting a name like Tatum.
I just don't remember seeing them. Yeah, he's still there.
So that's coming out early January, is it?
Because
I think Tarantino...
It's opened in the States already, I think, and... early January for us, I think.
Quentin was complaining about Disney, like... putting a kibosh on it somehow.
What, because they'd taken over every available screen for Star Wars?
Maybe it was that. I hadn't actually read the story, so I was hoping you had, but
no.
He's talking about some kind of underhand tactics by Disney killing his movie's release.
Oh, okay.
More than just that movie's really good, so mine isn't getting attention.
Yeah, I don't think any movie's opened on as many screens as Star Wars has opened on, and I think it's just hogging multiplexes everywhere, really.
Mm.
So, okay. I don't know.
So, put a cross for that.
Yeah, no.
Jupiter Ascending wasn't the hit that...
No, can you... Well, actually, that's the next point on the list. But can you just sort of go why you thought it was going to be the year of Channing Tatum?
Momentum from 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Moving into Foxcatcher, which was over the summer last year. And then you had Jupiter Ascending. He had Magic Mike.
XXL.
The second one. And I was thinking The Hateful Eight, which... him in a Tarantino movie, I'm still excited to see.
Yep.
We didn't know any details at that time, so I was kind of going with the idea that he was going to be, you know, one of the main characters. So we'll see. Maybe it's 2016. His year will come.
Further to that, who was it the year of then?
That's a good question. J.J. Abrams.
Well, yeah.
He's the patron saint at the moment, isn't
Well, he's just everyone loves J.J.
Mm.
I'm not sure. It was the year of Amy Schumer.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I haven't seen her in anything.
No, but she's just everywhere all of a sudden this year out of nowhere. But And, you know, Trainwreck was good. She's nominated for a Golden Globe and all this kind of stuff. So that's kind of cool. But, you know, the having a quick look at the movies that came out this year and what went really well, you could almost make an argument that it's the year of The Rock. Because he was in Furious 7 and San Andreas, and they're both in the top 15 films of the year worldwide. And he had
a TV series as well, Ballers.
Oh, yeah. So, you know.
Maybe.
There you go.
I think Marvel could say that it's been their year.
Well, Avengers and Ant-Man were both in... They're both in the top 15 as well.
That's not to mention Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
True.
So...
It's always the year of Marvel.
Disney. In my book, though. I was going to say, it's the year of Disney.
Yeah.
Because all the money is in their pocket. Except for the Universal money.
Yeah.
Harry, what's the next prediction?
Jupiter Ascending will flop. I got that right. I got a big tick.
Let's get a half tick.
No, it didn't even make its budget back worldwide, I'm pretty sure.
A lot of people saw it, though.
Yeah.
Just not enough.
Yeah, nowhere near enough. All the awards will go to Boyhood. That didn't quite transpire. That
was Matt's pick.
Yeah.
For that. All the awards went to Birdman, which we hadn't seen at the time.
Yep. I don't know why this is on the prediction list. This is just an all-round prediction. This happens all the time. That whatever you didn't like about music 10 years ago will become cool.
So tell me what happened in music this year that you didn't like 10 years ago.
Well, 10 years ago, we started hearing a lot of screamo stuff, and that really started to irk me. And so now the only metal bands that get played on Triple J are these metalcore, whatever the hell that is, bands that are just full of screaming and death growls and stuff. You know, and that suddenly became the main style of metal, and that really irked me. And all the
what happened in pop music this year?
Well,
that's usually what
Taylor Swift was still kind of big, even though the album was last year. That's a good thing though. I don't, that doesn't bother me. But it's just the same dumb pop stuff from 10 years ago is still kind of getting shuffled around. I don't know. It's just that's just more a growing old prediction. Okay. I don't think we need to put that on.
No ticks. No ticks. No. We come down to 20 predictions now.
I think this was one of you. This must have been yours. Lars Ulrich will force copies of Metallica's new album into car stereos.
Yeah, so that's dated because it was a reference to Bono and U2's, you know, projecting their new album onto people's iPhones.
Yeah, have a free U2 album whether you want it or not.
So I was just trying to make a funny about Lars going that extra step further.
Why are our joke predictions on this list? It's making us bringing our strike rate
They
down.
Were supposed to put an album out this year and they didn't.
No.
So... That's a cross.
I said Tool would release a new album this year. That's a cross. Kimye would divorce Kanye
together.
And Kim Kardashian. Apparently, it's legit. Like, you know, who knew? So that's a cross.
Yeah.
Kanye appeals for role in next Star Wars movie.
That's still in play. We've only got a week, but I'm going let's put a cross just for now. It hasn't happened yet.
What you think he's gonna? I thought he was gonna put his hand up for a role in Force Awakens.
No.
Oh, he meant for like a new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like he sees the hype, he likes hype, he puts his hand.
I'm up gonna to get the, me some of that.
I'm
hype.
Gonna be the next Black Stormtrooper.
Right. Okay. So that's a cross.
Yeah.
Kanye will make a Star Wars related video clip.
That's still in play for early next year, I think.
Well, this is predictions for this year.
I know.
That's a cross as well.
We got ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
That was your prediction, by the way.
No, I don't think it was. Was it?
Yeah, it was.
I don't.
Maybe it was.
I don't know.
Maybe it was joint. Anyway,
maybe. The Simpsons will announce its final season. That was your prediction.
I came so close to that. I feel with Harry Shearer pulling out of doing The Simpsons, that felt like it was going to be the snowball that turned into a bigger snowball. What's the term?
An avalanche.
An avalanche.
Snowball that caused an avalanche.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
But then they decided, here we've found some extra money, come back.
So when are they still going for it? They've got another 2 years left. Is that right? Two more seasons after now or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we'll just keep making that prediction every year, I think. Okay. So how's our strike rate looking so far?
We've got 10 crosses and 2.5 ticks.
All right. Okay.
Are we up to 13?
We're up to 15.
I'll put an extra cross there.
Why didn't you put an extra tick?
Because we definitely not a tick.
Okay. So, next, number 15. Furious 8 will be announced after Furious 7 makes all the money. That is a big tick.
That's a huge tick. Because they did announce it, didn't they?
Furious 8 is due out April 14, 2017. It was confirmed by Vin Diesel not long after Furious 7 kind of came out.
And did make all the money.
It did make all the money. It is the fifth biggest movie of all time worldwide.
That's amazing.
It's only the second biggest film of this year.
And it will be third by the end of the year, potentially.
Yeah, well,
running out of time.
Yeah, I don't think Star Wars will knock it off this year. There's not enough days, I don't think.
Okay.
But yeah, it took 1.5 billion.
Yeah.
So there you go. this one, I think I get half a tick for this one. Fantastic Four reboot will bomb, but it'll be a critical hit.
Yes.
It bombed.
And it was not a critical
hit. It was not a critical hit.
Rotten Tomatoes score?
It was 10% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is one of the worst reviewed big films of the year. And it took $111 million worldwide against a $120 million budget. So it didn't even make its clean budget back. That's not even including marketing. So it's a big bomb, one of the biggest bombs of the year. Next, so that's... I get half a tick for that, don't I?
Yeah, so we're up to four ticks.
Okay. Woohoo! Ant-Man will do well, but get panned. Half tick again. It did well. It's the 13th biggest movie of the year. It took over $500 million. But it's 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it actually didn't get panned. It did really well.
See, we couldn't just go for the flat, this movie will be bad, critics will hate it, everyone will hate it. We have to try and come up with something interesting.
Well, yeah, that's all. I was sort of mixing things around. Yeah. Some really... I've got some good ones coming. This next one's pretty good. So we predict Jurassic World would be top five. This is how low our hype expectations were on it. We said top five, 70% fresh and Rotten Tomatoes. It's in the top five. It's the biggest film of the year so far. $1.66 billion. And we said 70% fresh. It's 71% fresh and Rotten Tomatoes. That's
I feel
big.
Like we should get two ticks.
Enthusiastic tick. Well, it was kind of tempered by us saying, oh, top five. We didn't say it was going to be the boat of the year. All right. Entourage. We predicted six. Oh, this is so bad. We predicted 65% fresh and Rotten Tomatoes, and it was going to do well at the box office.
And?
It's 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it flopped.
Okay.
It took $49 million worldwide, so it made its... vaguely made its budget back. It's probably about break-even point when it counts marketing.
We'll get a cross for that.
Yeah, that's a wrong. This next one, I'm particularly proud of. The Minions versus Inside Out battle, right?
Mm.
I said Minions would win the box office, Inside Out would win the critics.
I think I said that, actually.
Oh, I thought I said that.
We might have both agreed
We both said it. Yeah. We definitely...
I think it was my idea,
It was a joint decision. So Minions won at the box office, 1.15 billion against Inside Out's 850 million.
Mm.
But Inside Out was 98% at Rotten Tomatoes, whereas Minions was only 55%.
Yeah.
So we enthusiastic tick for that
We're
one.
We're geniuses.
We are genii. And the last one we can't really do, but I think we get half a tick for it anyway. Point Break hasn't come out yet. We said Point Break was going to do well, but get panned.
It's got no reviews up yet.
The first three reviews on Rotten Tomatoes are all rotten.
Oh, I checked it this morning and there was none.
Oh, I just checked it just before you came in. So somewhere in the last hour, the three reviews have gone up.
Okay, half a tick.
Yeah, so it looks like it's on its way to getting panned. I don't think it's going to do that well.
I think there'll be a lot of rubbish. It does look bad. I think there'll be a lot of people like our mum's age who remembered seeing it and could get dragged along to it.
Yeah. I bumped into a guy outside the cinema and he pointed to the poster and said, oh, I might go see that. And he's like, he's older than me, so he's in his 40s.
Yeah. But like, I know my father-in-law loved Point Break. He likes surfing. He's, you know, it's the extreme sports crowd. There's a
market there, but it's a bit niche, isn't it? I think people who like Point Break, half of those people can go, I'm not going to go and see that because I like Point Break.
Yeah, I guess so.
And the other half are going to go, oh, I wonder what they did with Point Break.
Mm.
And then the rest of the market is that extreme sports and teenage boys who are looking for something other than Star Wars to see.
There's also a whole group of people who've never heard of Point Break. And there's this movie with people skydiving into buildings and squirrel suits through the countryside that might go, cool action movie.
Mm.
Furious 7 style.
Yeah, without the cars.
Without the cars. Mm. So, you know, I think it could be surprising. Like, even if it gets like a decent review here and there, that's going to be enough to get some people into the cinema.
Yeah.
And the timing is probably good for it. People have seen Star Wars already. If they don't want to see it twice.
A counter-programming kind of thing. It's funny. It's like...
Well, what else is... It's coming out, what, Boxing Day?
Not... not here. I think it's still a couple of weeks away. It's right. Boxing Day in the States, I think, or Christmas Day in the States.
Yeah. Why would you go to the movies on Christmas
Day? Apparently it's a thing in America. The cinemas are open on
Boxing Day. For sad people.
Well, yeah, but don't they have... Isn't there NBA games on Christmas
Day?
Yeah,
but that's different.
How is that?
Because it's Boxing Day here, so I can watch it the next morning.
No. But again, over there, sad people, yeah. You know, like... I mean, fair enough. It's Cavs versus Warriors, isn't
there's
it?
There's like five games, and they're all big marquee games.
Right.
Like big market cities.
Right.
The Knicks and the Bulls.
So, see, going to the movies on Christmas Day doesn't make so much...
I'll allow it.
Doesn't seem so weird against that.
Okay, so in the end we had 12 crosses and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ticks.
Right, that's terrible.
We're like a 30%
yeah.
on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's worse than Minions, but better than Fantastic Four.
Oh well.
It's about Entourage. We're at Entourage level.
If I'd known that Creed was coming out this year, I would have made a bold prediction and I would have been so right because that movie was awesome. Go see it if you haven't.
Yeah. That was just someone trying to break in through the air vent, I'm pretty sure that sound.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they would have heard that.
Oh, okay.
That's we just had a creepy, like, shaking metal sound.
Yeah.
Could be the ghost of Christmas past coming to. There he goes again.
Yes.
Anyway, what happened this year that we haven't already talked about? This is our end of year section of the podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the best things that happened this
year. Yeah, all I did was made a list of movies and albums, but I don't know what else. What else summarized this year? We changed Prime Minister. I know it's not pop culture, but I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, that just fades for me. Yeah. I have no room in my brain for current events.
What is going on in the air vent? It is just... Someone in there.
We need to pause.
No. And it's investigate. Fine. It's just atmosphere. Okay. It's getting ominous now.
Yeah. Well, I've got a list of TV shows. How do you want to start this?
You do your TVs and I'll do my movies.
Okay.
Because I haven't watched any TV this year.
Okay, so this year, the first literally 5 series that I wrote down that came to my head, I realized were all Netflix shows, like exclusive to Netflix. So it's been a good year for them. Orange is the New Black came out.
That's season 3.
Season 3?
Yep.
And they all kind of blur for me because I watched them all in a row.
Yeah, well, I watched the first 2 in a row and they were, yeah.
So you can't even comment on this?
No, I can't talk about season 3.
Masters of None kind of took everyone by surprise. That's Aziz Ansari's sitcom that's only come out in the last couple of months. It's actually 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes from 53 reviews.
Wow.
So if you get a chance to check that out, it's really well done. Pretty unique take on the sitcom.
Yeah.
Each episode kind of has a theme. And it's a very diverse cast, which is getting a lot of praise. Bloodline was a really...
Is that another Netflix one as well?
It's another Netflix one. A good drama with a really solid cast. And the second season of that's going to make it really interesting. It was one of those series where from the first episode, it was leading towards a moment. And now that moment has arrived, you kind of wonder what they're going to do for the second
now, season. This is the one with Ben Mendelsohn.
Yes, Ben Mendelsohn.
We inadvertently, accidentally just called Noah Taylor, I think, possibly.
I think you did, yes.
Yeah, I did, yes.
They do look very similar. They could be brothers.
There's a market correction thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Ben Mendelsohn's winning that one.
He is, yes.
It was the year of, we said Marvel, but Daredevil and Jessica Jones went nuts on Netflix. And I think it's because no one... As much as Marvel can do no wrong, no one expected a TV series to do so well, these characters. And especially after Daredevil was so badly handled in the early 2000s.
Well, and this is season 2 of Daredevil?
It hasn't happened yet, but they're filming it, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. So the first season is this is their branch out into TV that's not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and it's very adult, is probably the best term. The violence is fairly graphic. Jessica Jones has some real kind of messed up serial killery creepy knives and everything stuff going on that you wouldn't let kids watch, and not to mention like sex scenes and cussing that doesn't happen on big screen,
right?
You know, you can't get the kids into Avengers if there's F-bombs, so
cool.
They've gone in that direction and it's going to be interesting to see how it eventually ties into the films, because inevitably that's what they would do.
It's the long game, yeah. And I can see that it's all happening today. it's going to be cool to see how It'd be great to see Daredevil and Jesse Jones pop up in a movie somewhere down the track.
Because they do reference New York, you know, the thing that happened in New York.
Yeah.
And it's Avengers references, basically.
Yep.
So, other great series this year. Louis had another terrific season. That one's 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Louis just keeps kind of reinventing the wheel when it comes to how masterful he can make a 30-minute comedy. You'll have to get onto that one day, Matt.
It's on my list.
Yeah, sure it is. While we're talking about comedies, Parks and Recreation wrapped up. That's another Aziz. He's part of it. It's not his main thing. Amy Poehler is now free to do films, which we're seeing she's doing with Tina Fey. Sisters, is it called? Or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember what
it's called. It looks good. I'm going to see that, probably.
Yeah.
BoJack Horseman had its second season. And as I was talking about with Rach yesterday, it actually possibly got better in the second season. It's a comedy, cartoon animated series, if you haven't seen it. And it's similar to Arrested Development, not just because it has Will Arnett as the main character, but it has a lot of running gags that the more you watch it, the funnier it gets.
You're talking about the Marvel stuff that they're doing really well on TV. We probably should talk about the DC equivalent.
I haven't seen any of them. That's why.
No, I haven't either, but it's been getting really good reviews. The Flash is 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and Arrow is 96%.
Did not realize.
So they started with Arrow, that has crossed over into The Flash. They're now about to launch Legends of Tomorrow, which is like a Avengers-y, Justice League-y kind of thing.
Is this in the world of Gotham, or is that separate?
That's separate.
Right.
And I think it's separate to the Supergirl world as well.
Right.
Which is just incredibly...
I think Supergirl takes place in the cinematic universe.
No, I don't think it does.
Okay, well, that's silly. That's a bad decision.
Yeah. So
anyway.
So all over the shop, but yeah.
Better Call Saul was probably one of my best shows of the year.
I've started watching that.
You did?
Yeah, I'm two episodes in.
You got it on DVD.
I got it on DVD.
What do you think so far?
Well, first two episodes, yeah, great. Love it. Mm. Yeah. It's really interesting. Yeah, I'm totally on board.
It's a show that people probably... were skeptical of how can they make a whole series about Saul, but the way it's done is just so good.
Like, it's because they've sunk the same rich sort of character development and backstory into Saul.
And you can see glimpses of Breaking Bad in there, like it's, you know, where it's heading towards this, or maybe it's the way that they tell the story itself, or the even just the way that it's filmed, and especially as that season ends, it hints more towards, you know, the person that he became in Breaking Bad.
So, are they doing another season?
Yeah.
They are? Okay.
It should be coming out soon, I think. In the next few months, at the latest.
Okay.
Mad Men finished this year. I'm only 5 seasons into that, so a couple more to go before I can...
They did 7 of that, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we should be seeing a bit more of Jon Hamm in the cinema.
next year, you're predicting the year of Jon Hamm.
Jon Hamm. At the age of 40. I don't know how old he is. The Walking Dead is still going strong, in my opinion. People still watching it, still loving it. I read my first comic the other day. My brother got me a couple for my birthday.
Hey.
Volume 23, issue, whatever it was, 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Cool.
It's weird because there's characters who don't, like, they're completely different.
Yeah.
Like, this one's suddenly got a kid that belonged to that person on the show and stuff like that.
I'm not sure how you can jump into that sort of story. Midway or partway.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either, but the guy at the comic shop in Portland said that they were two good ones to start with.
Yeah, right.
if you don't start at the start.
Okay.
Yeah, Orphan Black had another season that was pretty good. Fargo and True Detective are two series that I was looking forward to a lot. Fargo I'm only a little bit into, but it looks to be as good, if not slightly less good as last year, but I think last year they had
as good if slightly less
good. Yeah, I was gonna say slightly better, but it's not.
No, okay,
less good.
And what about True Detective?
True Detective was a bomb for me this year. It just did not live up to that first season at all.
I heard a few people say it kind of pays off in the final episode and makes it a bit worthwhile, but you gotta sift through a lot of crap to get there.
I guess for those people maybe it didn't for me. I binge watched it and it just had none of the resonance of the first season. And that's one of the risks when you redo a show after each season, like Fargo and True Detective do.
Flipping the cast and trying to figure out what it is that makes it work without that.
And see, Fargo has done the same thing that the first season did, which was take themes from the film in the 90s, take the setting, take the themes, take the style, and replicate it again. And this second season's done that too. You know, there's a murder, there's someone trying to cover up the murder, I guess. There's a cop that's trying to investigate it. It's all reminiscent, but they found a new way to do it by setting it like 20 or 30 years ago.
Okay.
So True Detective, I would like to see the third season do a little bit more of a throwback to that original season of having a non-linear story, maybe some supernatural elements. But the second season was really, for me, it was just a cop show. It was just a gangsters, cops, you know.
Did you find yourself just kind of hate watching it to get through it?
No, I didn't hate it. It just, I was waiting for those big moments that happened in the first season that just didn't come for me. And the performances are good. I was impressed with Vince Vaughn's attempt at drama. Rachel McAdams was good. She's very serious and kind of gritty.
How's my man Taylor Kitsch?
Taylor Kitsch. Old Riggins. He was underused, I would say. But, you know, he's not a big name so much like the others.
No,
it's a good thing for him to have on in his resume. And I think that's my TV list for the year. I have missed shows like the DC ones and Suits and Narco. And that's the Medellin TV show about Pablo Escobar on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha, yeah.
And Luther, I think, was a one that got a lot of attention this year. But, yeah, I think I watched a lot of TV this year. It was a good year for TV. There's a lot of movies that I need to catch that I missed, so I'll handball that over to you.
Okay. I've kind of got a list. I'll work backwards.
This is a top 10, top 5?
Top 14, for some reason.
Okay. Just 14 movies Matt liked.
Yeah. So, number 14, Spy. Kind of took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting much from Melissa McCarthy. She's kind of irked me since Bridesmaids was good, but then everything else...
I like her in bit roles.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's very good in small doses.
Which is... Yeah. And I was kind of in the same boat until I saw Spy and went, okay, she's actually good. This is a funny movie. This is... Well done. So, that was good.
Kudos.
Ant-Man. Loved it. Good fun. I watched it again the other day and it's even better, I thought, second time around for some reason. I'm not sure why.
It is interesting.
Bridge of Spies was great. Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg teaming up again. Good, solid Cold War thriller. It's just, you know, and not... It's kind of the anti sort of Bond movies, you know, like Mission Impossible and Bond this year and Kingsman, all these kind of big
Kingsman.
Spy films. You know, actually Kingsman might have been last year, can't remember.
I saw it this year.
So that, you know, Bridge of Spies was just good old classic Cold War thriller kind of stuff. It was kind of refreshing.
Tom Hanks is just...
He's always good.
Yeah.
He just brings something. He's like, he's the Jimmy Stewart of our time. He's always respectable. You know he's going to be, like, even when he's playing... I mean, everyone's talking about, is it Road to Perdition? And everyone's like, oh, he's playing a bad guy. Tom Hanks is playing a bad... He's still too good to be a bad guy. Like, he couldn't even be a proper all bad kind of bad guy.
He's going to be a guy that, and I think Leo's heading this way, and I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt's heading this way, although he's still quite young, that you can just know if their name's in the movie, it's going to be pretty good.
You can just
watch it, and it's like, oh, it's a Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah. It's a sign of quality, stamp of quality.
And he did that Disney one. What was the Disney one?
About Miss Mary Poppins?
Saving Miss Someone? I don't know.
Saving...
Was it Miss Daisy?
Banks.
Yeah, that thing.
Is that what it was?
He was Walt Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I don't know if that movie was well received, but I'm sure...
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
I'm sure that he was good in it.
Mm.
And that's what you can always know about Hanks.
Is it Saving Mrs. Banks? Is that what it's really...
Is it?
I don't know. I can't remember now.
So there's what about, this whole movie title style of verbing person.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Driving Miss Daisy. Is that a film?
Yes.
Yeah.
Finding Forrest or something.
Finding Forrester.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo.
Finding Forrester. Finding Nemo.
And Saving Mrs. Banks.
Yep. If that is even the name of the film, that's terrible.
Killing Heidi.
The Imitation Game was good. Benedict Cumberbatch. playing Alan Turing. Interesting film, very well done. Creed is in my list. As much as I was kind of, what was I saying beforehand?
You said who wants this film?
Who's asking for this film?
All the Rocky fans, because it was awesome.
Yeah, it was genuinely good. I actually teared up a bit enough.
I teared up like for the last hour.
Yeah,
I was fighting back tears the whole time.
Sylvester Stallone, he just killed it. He was just awesome.
There's so many great moments in the. Like, we have to talk about Creed a little bit.
Go on.
That main fight in the middle of the movie that was done in one take.
It's awesome.
With no camera tricks. I heard Simmons talking to Michael B. Jordan, and they did it like a dance, he said. They choreographed the whole thing and filmed it that way, which is very impressive.
And they're still, I don't know how they're doing it. They must have had blood pouches or something in the in there so that you get a touch so they get blood. Because it was, unless they've CG'd the blood in later, which is possible, but it really well done. That fight was awesome.
Yeah.
To the point where I think that was a better fight than the big finale in a lot of ways.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the last one was, they couldn't do it real time because it was 12 rounds or whatever. Yeah. But that, as a Rocky fan, the movie didn't drag for me. It might have been 10 minutes too long for some people, but I thought they did a fantastic job putting a kind of modern take on the old story, because it is an old story.
Yeah.
Similar to Star Wars, it's kind of a remake of the first one.
Yeah.
And it is an Episode 7 in some ways.
Yes.
And it is setting a new
start. The passing of the torch as well. Yeah. Yes. It's all of those things. Yeah.
And I saw them within like 3 days, so I had all the emotions of my youth.
All right, number 9 on my list, Avengers Age of Ultron. I just really dug it. I know I know it's not as good as the first one, but it's still good.
It had a lot of memorable moments. Looking back, I wanted to say, it's kind of ultimately forgettable compared to Star Wars, but then I thought about it and so many key scenes, most of them were probably in the trailer.
The Hulkbuster scene.
But even little ones like they're chopping wood at the cottage or they're drinking beers and telling stories and
all of those were in the trailer.
The climax of it was pretty forgettable for me.
I like what they did with
the floating island.
Well, yeah, I liked Ultron as a villain.
Yeah,
I thought the big finale was pretty good. I liked the Vision. I thought he was cool, even though he's only in there a little bit. Quicksilver was good, even though he's only in there for a little bit. I don't know. I like they're kind of on the verge of cramming too many characters in, but they're still. I think it's Joss Whedon's
ability to
flesh out minimal characters really well.
Yeah, they have to do that for the Avengers, and it's the movies in between where they get a chance to concentrate.
But we're still not going to get a Vision film that's not projected anytime soon. We're not going to get a Hawkeye film. We're not going to get a Scarlet Witch film.
These movies before they make them all. I think it's inevitable.
Possibly, but they're still trying to bring in new characters. You know, the movies coming up are not about established characters. They're about bringing in Black Panther, bringing in Captain Marvel, bringing in the Inhumans, all this kind of stuff.
Let's make a really bold prediction.
Okay.
In 20 years, when all these projected films have been made, which is, up to 2025 or something?
Kevin Feige apparently has a list going up to 2025. Okay. But they've booked stuff in until 2020, I think.
So anyway, when the current phase is over, do they continue with the characters that have been popular, or do they flesh out the guys like Vision and Luke Cage and people who are kind of smaller characters at the moment? Or do they even go back and go, here's Nick Fury's story with Finn from Star Wars instead of Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah.
And how does he lose his eye?
And what do you do with Iron Man? Like, because everyone loves Iron Man, they love Thor, but at some point, love Cap.
And Robert Downey Jr. is going to get too old, if he's not already.
Well, at some point they're going to either have to stop using the character or recast it,
or just tell a different story. And
but again, recast it. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
They either stop or find a new actor. But you know, Hemsworth can't keep doing that for 20 years.
And it's the kind of thing that could kill it as well, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, if they try and pretend like, you know, this guy's now Iron Man and pretend that he's Tony Stark.
Well, they did it with War Machine, and they've done it with the Hulk. Yeah,
but that's not the same thing as replacing Robert Downey Jr.
True. But you see, I mean, Iron Man's the kind of thing that it's like, It's more the suit than him. He could. He's not doing a lot of running around.
Yeah, but
a lot of it's
the
CG.
Suit's cool, but the interesting part of it is Tony Stark.
Yeah, but I'm saying what I was going to say is that I think he could keep doing it for 20 years. You know, even though he's 40 something, theoretically you could keep doing that role because it's not physically demanding.
Well, I guess Harrison Ford's been doing his
72 running around as Han Solo. You know, and the Indy 5 apparently is happening.
Yes.
I keep reading interviews where Harrison Ford says they're working on a script. I'm ready to go before I die. Let's do it.
Spielberg
still one that's better than the last one.
And George Lucas isn't allowed to touch it.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing ever. Yeah. number 8, The Martian.
That was good. I like that.
Yeah, Matt Damon science the shit out of it, and it was just I really dug it. It was surprisingly uplifting and funny.
They managed that tension really well.
It's actually nominated in the comedy section for the Golden Globes. Now, I think that might be pushing it
too
far.
That's pushing it too far.
But
it's not a comedy.
No, but for a Ridley Scott movie, it kind of is. But yeah.
See, this is the thing. Like, all these big movies have to have humor in them. And I know I mentioned this in the Star Wars podcast, but I feel like the Avengers showed everyone how to do that.
Yeah. And this is when Gareth was looking at me strange when I started saying about the massive influence Joss Whedon has had on modern day blockbusters. It's true.
So I don't think you could I would say Star Wars and Avengers are just as funny as The Martian, if not funnier. Into the comedy section.
Number 7, Boyhood. It was great. Fascinating film. It's better than its gimmick too. It's better than just the fact that it's filmed over 11 years, whatever. The Theory of Everything. Such amazing performances. Felicity, what's her name?
Day?
No, I can't remember her name. Is it Felicity Jones?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think
let's go with that.
Yeah, all right. Her and Eddie Redmayne as Stephen Hawking and Mrs. Hawking. Just incredible performances. Really great story, well told. Mad Max Fury Road.
One that I have to see.
That was. Oh, you still haven't seen that?
I haven't seen it.
We did a podcast.
I know.
It's just awesome. It's just so good.
Is it going to win Best Picture? Because that's the talk.
Is it going to get? It'll get nominated, won't it? Because they nominate like 10 films now. Kind of stretch around for ones. But
can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Star Wars, Creed, and
Mad Max.
Three films that started in the 70s and 80s, and got redone to a certain extent this year. Each of those potentially nominated for best film?
I don't know.
Because you're looking at your list here. You've seen every movie that came out this year.
No, I haven't. But
pretty much. Like you've seen, or at least know about the ones that are big that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
So, are they likely to make it among those 10?
It's possible. Look, it's possible. I don't think all three of them will get in. But Star Wars, I don't know if Star Wars will get nominated for Best Film. It just feels like it's sort of, I don't know.
What is it, like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. It's
the
a hard
first
one.
First one got nominated.
Yeah, but Empire's the best one and that one didn't.
Maybe they only had 4 or 5 available nominees there.
Maybe. I don't know if Creed will get nominated, but I feel like Mad Max is a lock.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Alright.
Birdman, finally got to see it this year. I think it technically came out last year, but it's just so awesome. I watched it again the other day, and I'm still just so blown away by so much of it, except the last 30 seconds, but all the rest of it, great. Number 3, Star Wars Force Awakens. You probably thought that was going to be my
number
3. Yeah.
This is in order.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
So, there's two films better than I'm saying, and they are Straight Outta Compton, which was just so good. I just walked out of that movie just going, aside from feeling like I wanted to talk like a black man, but I just walked out of it going, that was just so much fun. And it was, as much as it was dramatic and messed up, and it was just had an energy to it that was really, really cool.
Okay.
I really dug it.
So it's number 1, Inside Out.
Inside Out is the best film of the year.
Okay.
See, I want to see it win the Oscar. I want to see it best film, but I don't think
it'll happen. Can it happen? Is it eligible?
Yeah, it can. Why can't it
animated? No, I wasn't sure if animated series.
Anime films can be nominated for best film. The first one that kind of broke the barrier for that was Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. It was nominated for Best Film.
Okay.
I don't see any reason why Inside Out shouldn't win Best Film.
Yeah, cool. 2016 is going to be a good year for me watching stuff at home because I haven't seen at least four or five of those ones.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I catch up on TV shows, I'm going to watch all of your list.
Yeah.
There we go.
Then we can do another podcast.
All right, well, I think it sums up 2015 pretty well.
2015. Tell us your favourite shows. Tell us your favourite movies and your favourite... We didn't talk about music.
We didn't. I made a very roughly thrown together list of my favourite albums, but I don't listen to as much music as I should. Most of my favourite albums are from bands that were around in the 90s or early 2000s and have come back.
We won't try to do that then.
No.
I will briefly say video games, my top three or top five. I'm going to go The Witcher 3, Fallout 4, Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. I played Shovel Knight for the first time this year. And Batman Arkham Knight sneaks in there too.
That's a long top three. A
lot of sequels. That was my top five.
I think it's a top three.
I changed it. Many great games this year.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tell us what you thought of 2015. Tell us what you're looking forward to in 2016. We might cover that later.
Yeah.
We might not.
Who knows? We don't know where we're going at this stage.
Yeah, we don't know what's happening. And as always, you can catch us on Twitter. Matt's at Dr. Matt Neal. And I'm at Jonah himself. Have a super terrific week and a Merry Christmas.
And Bonza Quantum.